Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
As you can tell, I'm running around, so I'm sorry that I wasn't here. Our brother is Michael Bonner II. I know that some of you who are here from the San Antonio area, or perhaps you've been somewhere, have heard of his father, Mike Bonner, or Michael Bonner I. I've known his father, I've been blessed to know his father close to 20 years. Yesterday during dinner, we were talking about this. Michael II is 23, so that means that he was about 3 years old when I got to meet him. He's a little bit older than what he has now. He is married. He has a little 9-month-old by the name of Hezekiah Zane. Our brother is currently, or was, at the BCS Church of Christ in Bryan College Station. He's currently residing in Anderson, Texas, and it is a great honor and a great privilege for me to be able to introduce you guys to my good friend's son, but also call him also my good friend. So without any further ado, Michael, preach the word.
Good morning, how's everybody doing?
What?
Good.
Alright. So, the way I like to teach, really, is to be very interactive. I love interaction, I love talking. And like you said, I'm 23. I'm curious, you like older than me in here? How old are you?
27.
I know you older than me, you gotta be older than me. You didn't listen? 23.
I'm multitasking.
Yeah, you're good. How old are you? 25. Anybody else? Alright, what's up? 25? Okay, let's go. So when he told me it was a youth day, I'm thinking like, you know, I'm thinking babies, I'm thinking my son. But this to me is not necessarily, I won't say better, but I like it because y'all have thoughts and y'all have things that y'all are going through, I'm assuming, I'm sure. And I remember I wasn't too far removed from really this right here. And so when I think of youth and young, like, so who here feels like they're old? I'm not confused. Give me a legit reason why they feel like they're old, even though you're 21. Yeah.
I'm 19, but I played sports for 11 years and I have a lot of back pains.
You have a lot of back pains? All right, back pains. So I know a lot of people, they feel like they're inexperienced, right? Or they have certain experiences. Like I said, he played basketball for a lot of time, and so that time accrued. And so now he has this pain. And so, therefore, he feels like he has this certain level of experience, his body's been worn out, blah, 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 blah. And so, when we think about youth and being young, like I said, we have things that we go through. I am married with a baby now, and so I'm in a little bit different place. But it's been interesting to have people that rely on me. And there's also, now, there's people that are relying on me outside of my family. And so now, I went from high school to that. And so it's a different level of responsibility. And so when we think about youth, I think about, y'all really don't have a lot of responsibility. Does anybody here work a job? Alright, so about half of y'all work a job. The other half, everybody just in school. So that's a responsibility. But if you don't go to school tomorrow, who is affected outside of you? Is anybody really affected? You see what I'm saying? Now, if I just say I'm done working, I don't want to do anything, I'm just going to be a bum, you know, then now I have other people that are going to suffer as a result. You get what I'm saying? So when we think about being young, typically we have less responsibility. Now, I don't have the same amount of responsibility as someone with, say, 5 kids and more things to pay for, all those other things. So there's levels to it. The point I'm trying to get at is when we think about youth, and we're at a youth fellowship here right now, and we think about having less responsibility, it's really good for us and y'all to take advantage of these times. I remember when I was young, people were like, oh, you know, you're gonna miss it, or oh, it goes by real fast, blah, 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 and I just kind of, it went in one ear and out the other for me. And so I don't wanna really say the same and do the same thing to y'all. But my point is take advantage of these times. Take advantage of being able to grow and learn and develop at a place where you don't have all these responsibilities and things pressuring you as far as time goes. And so a passage I think of, I want to have some readers while I'm here, is Psalm 119 and verse number 9. Somebody get Psalm 119 and verse number 9. And I'm going to put myself in the same boat as y'all, because I'm still growing, I'm still learning, I'm still developing. And when we think about those things and having this space to do that, we have this space to do that, I think about being kind of vulnerable in the sense of I will not mind saying I make mistakes. I do things that I'm not supposed to sometimes. Just the other day, I had to apologize to my wife because we were in the car, she was talking, and I missed a phone call, and while in the middle she's talking, I went to go answer that phone call or recall that person back. And after that she said, I'm like, yeah, I should have done that. I apologize, I'm sorry. And so I don't mind being wrong. If someone confronts me and says, hey, that's not right, I don't mind that. I try to be humble in that. But I realize that I still have place to grow. Alright, so we think about being young. Brother, go ahead and read that passage.
How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word.
So when y'all hear that word and read that word cleanse, what do you think of? Anybody?
I think of washing hands.
Okay, washing hands. What do you do when you wash your hands?
Clean them.
So typically you have water and you have soap. Alright, what else? When you think of cleanse, what do you think of?
Making something new.
Okay, making something new. Anybody else? Purity. Purity, good. It's the idea of innocence. The idea of innocence, all right? If someone, has anybody seen a court case or anything, or watched a, probably not. I'm kind of holding that. If you see a court case, somebody's either declared guilty or what? What? Innocent, all right? If someone's declared innocent, what does that mean? What does it mean if someone's declared innocent? Isn't it? They're not guilty, or what else? Yes, ma'am. They didn't do anything. They didn't do it. All right? Either they didn't do it, or they couldn't find the evidence to prove that they did it. Okay? So when you talk about how shall a young man, or how can a young person, we as young people, how can we make our way innocent? All right? How can we make our way innocent? If you think about it, there are some people that have made mistakes in their past. But in Christ, we have the opportunity and the ability to be forgiven of all those things and make our way new and make it innocent. Okay? So, I want to talk about, first off, before we get to this idea of leaven, is it might be the case that you have made some mistakes in your past. It might be the case that you're living in a situation right now that you're not supposed to be in. But thanks be to God, we have an opportunity to put that in our past, okay? And keep that in our past. There are many people that they cannot be an influence to others because they carry the guilt of their past within themselves. So, even we as young people have the opportunity to cleanse our way, to make it innocent. How is that done? What is the second part of that verse? I know you want to read. Psalm 119, verse number 9. What's the second part of that verse?
By taking heed according to your word.
All right, by taking heed according to your word. All right? Somebody wants to give me a synopsis, a short description of what that means. Anybody?
Listening and obeying.
Listening and obey. Excellent. So, we have this previous situation and we're trying to cleanse, make our way innocent. It requires us looking at God's word, listening to it, and obeying it. Okay? So, Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Everybody turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. First off, does everybody have a Bible or not? Just about. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Can somebody read verse number 16? Anybody, whatever you have it.
For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed daily.
Excellent. Though our outward man perish. It's funny you read that because you were talking about how you have back pain. It's probably not going to go any better in terms of your physical body. But your spiritual inward man can be made better and be renewed day by day. Okay? Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 10. For time's sake, we're not going to go there. But it has the idea that it's the word of God that renews our inner man. Okay? So, we as people, we have our physical bodies, but we also have our inward souls, our spirits. Alright? And so, whenever we read God's word, and when we listen to it, we obey it, and we learn from it, when we talk about it, that's why I want to get y'all to say, okay, what does that mean? What does that mean? Because we can read these words all day. But what is it going to do for us if we don't know what it means? Alright? What is it going to do for us if we don't apply it to our lives? What is it going to do for us if we don't apply it to our lives as younger people? Okay? Does anybody here have kids? No? So why would I sit up here and talk about raising children at this point in your life? Y'all can think about the future, but as of right now, y'all cannot apply that. Okay? So the goal for this is to be interactive, but also make it applicable for y'all. Does that make sense? Because the only way we're going to cleanse our way and make our young lives innocent, we have to take heed to God's word, we have to read it, we have to talk about it, and we have to be able to apply it in our lives. Okay? So, let's talk about leaven and being an influence. Alright? First off, I want to look at this, if I can say this from a scientific, the way God made the world perspective. Alright? So somebody get Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. And read verse number 7. Anybody, whatever you have.
It says, "And the Lord God formed man in the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being."
Excellent. So, how did God make man? Anybody? Yes. From the dust of the ground. Excellent. And so when man was laying on the ground, did he have any life in him in Genesis? No. Alright? What did God have to do in order to make man alive? Yes. Yes.
He breathed life.
Excellent. He breathed life into him. Alright? That's the way God made us. Alright? So, let's look at Genesis chapter 1. What was the very first thing that God made? What was the first thing that God made? Excellent. Alright. Keep going. What was next? Or what was on day 1? My fault. What was on day 1? What did God make on day 1? Since y'all don't want to answer, I'm just going to call. What did God make on day 1? Light. Excellent. God made light on day one. What is light? What does light do? If I cut these lights off, what's going to happen?
Yep.
It's going to be dark. Alright? But we cut the lights on, what happens? Alright? Now you can see. Do we need light in our lives?
Yes.
For what? Give me something that if you didn't have light, it would be detrimental. Who here drives? Anybody drive? Alright. If it's pitch black, midnight, alright, down some country road, no lights, and your lights stop working, what are you gonna do? Are you hurt? What are you gonna do? You'll pull over. Because you can't see. Alright? We understand how dangerous it would be if we didn't have light. That's just specifically for a car. Okay? So, what does light typically do? It influences, alright? We take these lights and they can move throughout the room in some way that I'm not super sure of. But it does that, okay? If we had a power outage, I want y'all to think in y'all's young brains. If we had a power outage, what would be the first thing that y'all probably do?
Turn off the
flashlight. You said turn off the light? Turn the flashlight. Excellent, excellent. You get your phone out and you turn the light off, okay? So if you have a smaller light on your phone, they're not these lights, right? Do you feel like that light is any less important if there's no lights? No, because it does something. All right? Now, if we all collectively turn our flashlights on, would it be bright in here? Yeah. Even though there are a lot of small lights, we could probably light this whole room up with all our flashlights. All right? Especially if you have an iPhone. If you have an Android, probably not. All right? If you have an Android, just get an iPhone. It's all right. So, we can all light up this whole room pretty well. All right? My point in saying that is that's the way God made light. God made light to shine. All right? Let's look at a cross-reference to this. Somebody get 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. When I say cross-reference, I mean there is a kind of commentary that the Bible gives on itself. So in Genesis 1, we have, in the beginning, God said, let there be what? Let there be light. That's what God said in the beginning. And so here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 6, here the writer Paul is going to make a point out of that truth. All right? So somebody get it. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 6. Anybody, please.
For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, thus shone in our hearts to give the light of knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ.
Excellent. All right. So it is God that commanded light to shine out of darkness. All right. Read that passage one more time, please.
For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ.
All right. So there's a lot there. God commanded the light to shine out of darkness. All right. That same God has shown in our what? In our hearts. Did it shine in our physical beating heart? So what is he saying? Anybody?
Our spiritual heart.
Okay. What does that look like? Spiritual heart. What do you think? Mr. 25 don't want to say anything? Okay. Okay, good, good. What do you think?
It's, what was the question?
What does it mean that God has shone in our hearts? How did God shine in our hearts? What's our heart there? What do you think the heart is in reference to? The physical beating heart?
No.
Okay, the way you
think. The ability to understand what he's saying.
Okay, excellent. Excellent. So the understanding happens in our minds. So God shines in our hearts. He shines in our minds. And then that's to do what? What's the last part of that verse? After hearts.
To give the light of knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ.
Excellent. To give the light of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Okay? So, if you're going in a dark place, all right, and you are the only one, if we're like doing a little haunted house thing, I don't do that stuff. But if we're doing a little haunted house thing and it's pitch black dark and you're the only one with a light, all right, would you leave the group? Or would you say, y'all are on your own, I'm going my own place? What would you do if you're a good person? You leave the group, all right? You leave the group. You take that light and you use it to be a benefit to others, especially in a dark place, all right? We're kind of going somewhere with this. So somebody get 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1 and read verse number 5. So remember that God said, let there be light. God has shown the light of glory in our hearts. And so now look at 1 John chapter 1, verse number 5. Anybody can read it.
This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all.
Is there any darkness in God?
No.
All right, what does it mean? What do you think? God is light, excellent. And so when we think about darkness, what do we typically parallel darkness to?
Yeah.
Sin, evil, excellent. So in God, there is no darkness, there is no evil at all. All right, but if you look at this from a literal perspective, God is light. And so when God made light, he literally gave an essence of himself. All right, he caused that light to shine in darkness, essence of himself. That light shines on us, and then we go out and shine to other people. All right, yes, sir.
I wanted to add on Psalms 119, verse 105. I thought it was connecting to what we're talking
about.
What
does it say?
It says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path."
Excellent. Excellent. All right, so when we think about this process of light, we're talking about leaven, we're talking about being an influence. The reason why I bring up light is because it's one of the first things that we notice. Actually, we don't really pay attention to it because we're just so used to it. But it's from the first things of influence that we notice, okay? God is light. God shines on us. We shine that light out into the dark world, all right? So, do y'all think that we as young people are a part of this process of giving light to the world? Okay? We made the example of if you have an iPhone, shining your flashlight. All right? We would say that's a small light in comparison to these lights. But it's still what?
Light.
It's still light. It still functions the way light is supposed to function. Can you imagine if we said, well, we're not the sun, so therefore we can't shine our light? No. A flashlight still works just like these light bulbs work, just like the sun works. Yes, sir?
I might be beating you to the punchline, but you know, we all shine a light together and become one big sun.
You are beating me to the punchline, but it's okay. I appreciate it. Yes, sir, exactly. That's the point I'm getting at, is the collective effort definitely has a great effect. But I want to bring this out from a point of light does that because that's the way God made it. Okay? From the very beginning, the first thing God made, he made something to influence. Light, God made light to influence. That's why Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, nobody lights a candle and puts it under what?
A basket,
a bushel. Excellent. Why? Because you can't take away light's properties, but you can cover it. Light, by its nature, is going to influence. Alright? So, let's think about another one. Actually, let's just move on to leaven. We're running out of time. So, leaven. What is leaven? Anybody know what leaven is? I'm calling somebody. Don't try not to look at me now. Yes, ma'am. What's leaven? You know what leaven is? You don't know what leaven is? Okay. So when you saw this right here, what did you think of the value of a little leaven? Didn't know? All right. You know what leaven is? A&M. Yes, sir. You know what? All right. You know what leaven is? Okay. Okay. Has to do with bread. Yes.
It makes the bread rise.
Excellent. It's, everybody heard of yeast? Okay, so you heard of yeast? That's leaven. You know, old time British wheat. It's yeast, alright? Anybody here have ever baked bread? Nobody's? Okay, what's that? Alright, so whenever you bake bread, when do you put the yeast in? Yeah, but when? In the beginning or the end? In the beginning. Alright? So, how much yeast does it take to make the whole dough rise? Just a little bit. Alright? There's a Bible passage for it. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 6. Paul says, a little leaven leavens a whole lump. It just takes a little bit of yeast to make the whole dough rise. Alright? So, whenever you go to the grocery store and you buy the loaf of bread, what you're getting is leavened bread. Bread that has been risen. The whole loaf rises. All right, that's why when you get the bread and you spread it out, there's those little bubbles. That's all it does. It just makes air pockets and it causes it to rise. All right, so 1 Corinthians 5, verse number 6, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. Does anybody know what's going on in the context of 1 Corinthians 5? Yes, ma'am.
Currently, they're trying to show the church and how we need to share the church and how just a little bit of light can help share the church to others.
Excellent. So that's Luke 13. 1 Corinthians 5. Josh, you know what's going on in 1 Corinthians 5? You know? In 1 Corinthians... I thought you were saying it. Yeah, what's up? Excellent. Excellent. And then what did he tell them to do to that man?
He told them to more or less isolate themselves, or isolate him.
Put that man away. Why? Because a little leaven leavens the whole lump. Okay? So, the idea of a bad apple causes everything else to rot. Okay? This is in the context of sin. A little bit of sin can cause the whole lump to be affected. Alright? So I want to encourage us as young people. Sometimes we say, well, it's just one video. Sometimes we say, well, it's just one word. Well, I just blew up that one time. We say, well, it's just one drink. Sometimes we do that. And we don't realize that it just takes a little bit of sin, then a week goes by, a month goes by, a year goes by, and then you're a completely different individual. Because you allowed that little bit of sin to cause your whole character to be affected. Okay? Then what happens is other people around you are affected, which we're going to talk about with this. Alright? That was Paul's point in 1 Corinthians 5. It just takes a little bit. Additionally, if they didn't take care of that situation, people would have looked at that and said what? What do you think? If you're getting away with something that nobody else is, let's say I say I have my iPad here, and I say nobody touch my iPad, leave it alone. But everybody wants to play a game on it. And he comes and he touches the iPad, and I do nothing about it. What is that gonna, how is that gonna affect y'all? What are y'all gonna think?
You can also do it.
You can also do it. Why not? Why?
Because he did it.
Because he did it. He got away with it. Nobody said nothing to him. Alright? That's another way leaven affects other people. You see what I'm saying? And so, whenever you think about your own life, whenever you think about sin, it just takes a little bit. When you see people in situations that are not great, it probably started out as them compromising in just a little bit. And then eventually it grows to a point where they cannot control. Okay? So, let's look at that in a positive sense though. Let's go to the Luke 13 passage. Somebody get Luke 13 and verses 20 and 21. Whatever you have, just read it.
And again he said, to what shall I liken the kingdom of God? It is like leaven which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal, until it was all leavened.
Excellent. So, does anybody know what the kingdom of God here is being referenced to? Yes, sir.
The church.
Excellent. Alright. So, she hid in three measures of meal. Alright. I don't want us to skip over that. Whenever you're doing your Bible study, you see things like this and phrases that you may not know what the measurement is or what it's being specifically referenced to. I would encourage you to slow down and then just look it up. Does anybody know how much in pounds? We think in pounds, right? So, does anybody buy some flour at the store? Right? How much, you know, typically is that a little better?
About 5 pounds.
It's about 5 pounds, all right? In pounds, how many do you think? Does anybody know how many three measures is? 3 pounds? No. All right, so I want y'all to take a wild guess. In pounds, how much three measures is? Wild guess. Half a pound? Okay, anybody else? All right, for me. Yes. Wild guess. 4 pounds, all right. How many pounds? 2 pounds? Alright. How many pounds? Say again.
Five.
Alright. All y'all are like way off. Try 60. 60 pounds. Alright, so that bag of flour, what's 60 divided by 5? Like 12? Imagine 12 bags of flour right here. Okay? And then you rip it all up and then you dump it all in one big old thing. Alright? And then it says that she took and hid leaven in that large pot. Alright? Until when? What does it say? Until it was all leaven. So, let's think about this with the church. We have the Daniel 2 passage, verse number 35. The stone became a mountain. Alright, actually somebody get Daniel chapter 2 and verse number 35. Daniel 2 and verse 35. I don't want us to skip over this. It said, what is somebody read? Daniel 2, 35.
The iron, the lead, the brass, the silver, the gold, put the pieces together, and came out of the shaft of someone's threshing tools. And they went carried them away, that no place was found for them. The stone that smoked the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth.
Filled the what?
The whole earth.
Filled just San Antonio, is that what it says?
Yeah.
Filled just Texas? No? Filled just this congregation? Some people think that their congregation is the only one going to heaven. Their congregation is the only church. Is that what it says? What does it say? Fill the whole earth. Okay? The whole earth. Don't skip over that. It was a stone turned to a mountain. Anybody ever been to Colorado? All right. Those mountains, what do they look like?
Big.
Big, all right. All right. God did this by design. So, God made light by design to do what? Our I word, influence. Alright? God made light by design to influence. God made yeast by design to do what? Rise, to influence. Alright? We didn't cover this, but salt. Does anybody like food without salt in it? Thank you. No. Nobody wants that stuff. If we go back there and those burgers have no salt in it, you know what I'm doing? I'm going to eat it because I'm nice. But in my mind, nobody wants to eat that. Salt by design influences. Yeast by design influences. And so when we're talking about this, we're talking about the church by design is supposed to do what? Say it. Just say it. Say it. Influence. Excellent. By design, it's supposed to influence. Okay? So, we might get into this a little more in the next lesson, but you don't have to do and be anything else but a Christian. To be an influence on the world, the only thing you have to do is be a Christian. Okay? So let me make this kind of real. A lot of people look to celebrities or social influence. Oh yeah, we're here. Instagram, TikTok, all this other stuff. Everybody, I'm sure, is following someone with a blue check. What does that mean? Verified. That means that they're what?
Important.
They're important. They're official. That's who they are, right? Typically, those people are the social influence. People look to them for their advice, for their lifestyle, all this other stuff. Has anybody bought? I'm curious. Has anybody bought something off an influencer? Somebody has, y'all are just not believing it. Nobody here has bought nothing. Alright, whatever. But that's what they do. They influence, okay? They influence. So, the church by design, just like God made light to influence, he made salt to influence, he made yeast to influence, the church by design influences the world. Influences the whole world, okay? So, I'm going to say this again. You do not have to be or do anything else but be a Christian. If you want to be an influence, if you want to impact people's lives for the better, if you want people to say, you know what, I'm glad to have that person in my life. The only thing you have to do is be a Christian. Because Christians, by design, the way God made it, we influence. Alright? So, AJ, what's the time?
It is 10:38.
Yeah, my fault. How much time do I have? Like, what's the next hour?
I asked Obed, he said, I mean, that's up to you whenever you want to take your first break. That way we'll be
done. Okay, cool. Alright, so we're just going to run through this pretty quick. Whenever the Bible uses leaven, there are three instances that it uses it in the negative sense. Alright? Jesus would teach, beware the leaven of. Alright? First one's found in Matthew chapter 16. Go to Matthew chapter 16. Somebody read, whenever you get there, verse number 12. Matthew 16 and verse number 12. And what I want to do with this is I want to demonstrate and bring it from the opposite perspective of how it can be used for good.
It says, then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees.
Excellent. So, Jesus would say, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Alright? We talked about leaven. What does leaven do by nature?
Rise.
It influences. Alright? Y'all are going to get the picture. It influences. So, he was saying, beware of the influence of the Pharisees and Sadducees, which is what? Their what? Verse number 12. Their doctrine. What is doctrine?
Teaching.
All right? So when y'all think of teaching, what do you think of? How do we receive teaching? Not just spiritually, but in general. Yes, ma'am?
Hearing.
Hearing it. Excellent. How else do we receive teaching?
Applying.
Reading. Good. Yes.
Applying it.
All right. Do you know when you're watching Reels? I know y'all do it. When you're watching TikTok, you're being taught. You learn by example as well. Whenever you're watching a movie, you're being taught. You may not think of it, it's just entertainment, you're being taught. I'm not saying it's bad all the time, but you're being taught. Whenever, you know, if you see, this is big, the whole Hollywood romance thing and, you know, the Hallmark stuff and small town country boy running to this big shot city girl and they fall in love. The females and males do it too. They admit it. But females, they love that stuff. Eat it up. Because they see themselves, oh, I would love to be that. Right? You know, y'all good acting, y'all. Alright? Yeah, they love that stuff. That was not really a thing until the last, I think, 50, 60 years. Maybe a little before that. But before that, it wasn't really a thing. And people didn't fantasize over that. But Hollywood came in and presented this attractive thing, and now every female wants that small town country boy that's a big hunk and, you know, can sweep them off their feet. Alright? They taught them that, essentially, by way of entertainment. It was more subconscious. They didn't say, hey, we're going to teach you this is the best way to do it, but that's what it did. Alright? So, Jesus said, beware of the doctrine of the Pharisees and Sadducees. We see a lot of the doctrine of the Pharisees in Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. Where Jesus is running through those things that they were teaching of the time that were incorrect. One of those things, by way of example, he would say, you have heard it been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thy enemy. But what did Jesus say? Anybody?
Love thy neighbor. Love thy neighbor.
Love thy neighbor and do what to your enemy? Hate them?
Pray
for them. Excellent. What do you say first? Anybody heard love your enemies? Jesus said love your enemies, okay? Now, if you really look at that in the Old Testament never taught them to hate their enemies. It actually taught them to love their enemies as well. But what the Pharisees were teaching was you to love your neighbor and to hate your enemy. Alright? That teaching caused people to feel justified in hating their enemy. Alright? If I see you as my enemy, right? Let's say you do me wrong, alright? You T-bump my car for no reason, right? And now you're my enemy. Now I feel justified in going to you and I'm gonna T-bump your car. You know, how would you like it? Alright? Is that right? No, but that's what they were teaching. And so now that influence of teaching, we're causing them to act in a way that God would not have them to. Even worse, they were doing it in the name of religion. And so now, let's say I T-bone your car, but I say God told me to T-bone your car. That doesn't sound right. Now you think about that from a non-Christian perspective. Let's say a non-Christian T-bones my car. And now I'm going to say, I'm T-bone your car, right? T-bone him back. Because God told me to. What do you think that person would think of? What do you think a person would think? Let's say you have no familiarity with the church, right? And someone in the name of God T-bones your car back. What would you think about that individual's God? Yes, ma'am. Excellent. That's how they act? I don't want to be like that. I don't want to go where they go. You see what I'm saying? That's an influence thing. Jesus said to beware of that. So, put it on his head. How can young people, how can we teach people good things and influence them for good? What do y'all think? I had to pick on somebody, aren't you? You're smiling. What's up? Lead by example. And so instead of T-boning your car, you know what? I understand things happen. I know you didn't mean to do it. Hey, why don't you come over for dinner and I'll have you meet my family, because I know you're going through a hard time right now. You're going to have to face this new financial challenge. See how different that is? Yes, sir.
This teaching of... We know God has been the same at the beginning since the end of this teaching of taking care of your enemy as a principle that you can go back and see in Leviticus.
Yes.
Yeah, actually one of the offerings that they were commanded to give, I don't remember exactly which offering it was, but if you wronged someone, not only were you to make it right with God, but you were to give them 20% of whatever damage or loss that they caused. And you were to show them hospitality for your error, whether it was on purpose or by accident.
Yes. Excellent. All right. So, another time we're going to speak to the rest of these. Look at Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8 and verse number 15. There Jesus was saying, beware of the leaven of who and who? Anybody?
Pharisees and Herod.
You keep looking at me, you're going to get the answer. Excellent. Pharisees and Herod. All right. Pharisees and Herod. Now, he doesn't explicitly say what this is in reference to. But to me, if you look in the groups of people and what they share in common, the Pharisees were religious leaders. All right? Herod was a political or governmental leader. You might see in the Bible a reference to the Herodians. And the Pharisees, they were trying to question Jesus to get him to say something that he either shouldn't have or to, it says, tempt him, to trip him up on his words. All right? They were doing this because Jesus was considered king of the Jews. All right? That posed a threat to the religious leaders because he was threatening their position as religious leader. It also posed a threat to Herod because him in optics, posed a threat to him as a governmental leader. All right? So, you have people playing politics with God. All right? Because they don't want to get rid of their political position. Now they are questioning God, and they are bucking against God. And Jesus would tell them, beware of that influence. All right? So those of you that work jobs, have y'all seen job politics? Anybody? What happened?
Kind of like just one guy trying to be in charge, and then another guy trying to usurp that authority, and then, you know, just back and forth.
Excellent. So, you know, let's say I hire these two guys, and I really don't like him. I think he's kind of weird, but this is my buddy over here. But he does a better job. But guess who gets a promotion? He's my buddy, right? Or it gets even worse. Let's say that he says, or I do something that he doesn't agree with, but he's going to lie about it and act like it's no big deal because he's trying to get the promotion. Politics. That sometimes comes to the church as well. All right? people compromising their morals for the sake of position. All right? And that, if we're not careful, can affect Christians. It can affect us. All right? So flip on his head, how can we be a good influence and not have that political attitude? What we can do is we can be sincere. We can tell the truth. All right? You do not have to lie to get a promotion. You do not have to lie to get a job. You don't have to kiss up to someone that is not in the right just for the sake of whatever you want. All right? Finally, let's look at Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, verse number 1. Jesus will say, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, and that is hypocrisy. Somebody tell me what it means to be a hypocrite. Let me first ask, does anybody know a hypocrite? You know hypocrites? Alright. What does it mean to be a hypocrite? Do you like that? Who here likes a hypocrite? I'm sure nobody likes a hypocrite. Alright? But hypocrites, if we're not careful, can affect us. What they get into it. What they get into it. Alright? And that can seep into our minds and can cause us to act in a way that is not proper. So, flip on his head, how can Christians be a good influence in that way? Can Christians be hypocrites? No. So what does that mean? Practice what you preach. Alright? Practice what you read. Even if you don't preach it, practice what you read. Alright? Pretty simple. But that affects people. Alright? So, as we close, it just takes a little bit of leaven. It just takes a little bit of yeast to rise a whole dough. Alright? It just takes a little bit of light to affect a whole area. Which means you don't have to be popular. You don't have to have a million subscribers. You don't have to have 1,000 followers. You don't need a blue check in order to be a good influence. Alright? Does anybody know who anybody know the story of Naaman? What happened to Naaman? Real quick.
He got, was a leprosy. Mm-hmm. And the only way he could be cleansed was he had to dip in the Jordan.
Excellent. So, excellent. So, do you know the name of the maid that told him?
I don't remember.
Anybody know the name of the maid? No, it's a trick question because it doesn't say. Didn't say what her name is. Alright? Does anybody know the name when Jesus fed 5,000 in John 6? Does anybody remember where he got the fish and the bread from? Originally? A little boy. Anybody know his name? No? It doesn't say. Alright? How many times, anybody know who Ananias is? Alright? Who did Ananias teach? Paul. Alright? Anybody know who Paul is? Yeah, probably. Ananias is mentioned once. Alright? But all three of those individuals made a very large impact. Okay? Paul was saying in 1 Corinthians 3, verse number 7, that the one that plants and the one that waters is nothing. Alright? We as Christians can be the leaven, the rising agent that affects other people and make an impact, even though we may seem like we are small. Alright?